person.
All right, so we're finishing up the Tosfos of you, right? Samachem Beis, a beget shor b'kolayim. So the Tosfos question is, why is there no bittul, right? Why is there no bittul? So the answer he gives is what? The shani kilayim, the kol ikron ein osrin eloi de iruv. The whole essence of the Isser of Kilayim is through mixture. Right? Sherei Shneim Heter. Because each one independently is Heter. Lekach Oser Iruvon Velo Batli. Okay, so what does that mean? What does that mean? In other words, let me just strengthen the question one more time. Bring it back for a minute. Now, if you're going to say, by Bittel, so it means that the thing is not present, so then you don't have a mixture either? I mean, if you can tell me when you have a majority of one thing, we disregard the other one, so then you don't have a mixture. Maybe Kilayim is Dafka 50-50. Right? In other words, how does saying you need a mixture of two things prevent Bittul? You still need the two things. If Bittul tells you when the smaller one is considered nullified in the presence of the bigger one, so then, so I only have wool, I only have linen. Maybe I need 50-50. Yes. No, we want to just think through his answer very carefully. What's he? He's laying out some proposition here. He's bringing a raya and then following through on the conclusion. He's saying that what? The whole reason, the whole essence of the Isser is through a mixture. How do you know? Because they both started as Heter. And therefore, the Eruv will create Isser and not Bittul. In other words, if you follow the answer he seems to be working with over here, the concept that he seems to be expressing is that sometimes mixture will create bittul and sometimes it won't. Not every mixture is shaykh to bittul. Right? If the whole isser is mixture itself, then that's not shaykh to bittul. But I'd like to hear it a little more clearly. Yeah. Now, he seems to say like this, that when we have a regular case of isser, so you have the shame chaylev, let's say. Shame shchuta, whatever, shame nevela, whatever it is. You have the shame of the Isser. That exists on its own. Okay? And now you have a mixture. You have the two different states. You have the state of the Isser Be'en, and then you have the state of the Isser when it's mixed in with other things. It's lost in other things. Okay? So halacha treats that is a degradation, that is a deterioration of the Isser in a certain sense. It's moved from a pure form to somewhat of a diluted form. Right? That's the basis of Bittul. A dilution of the Isser. It is a dilution of the Isser, even though they're all staying solid. It means to say the identity of Isser is now not identified, not contained in one particular piece. It's sort of lost in the crowd. So the eruv of Isser, in an ordinary case of Isser, is a negation of the Isser. It's a losing of the Isser. So it says that's what Bittul is. Bittul is, we say, when has the Isser Be'en been lost so far that we can disregard it? Okay? But it's only a shear in a certain kind of an eruv. Bittul is when a certain type of eruv has gone to a degree that we can say the isser is now lost. Okay, it says but the eruv of kilayim is not an eruv of losing isser; it's an eruv of isser itself. So it's not shaykh to a process of bittul. Not the eruv of kilayim is not something that is that is deteriorating Isser. It's not something that is diffusing Isser or negating Isser. On the contrary, it is the Oser itself. So you can't say that the thing that's going to create Isser. Now, as he's saying like this, he's trying to explain to you that Eruv could function in two different ways. If you're starting out with Nisr Be'en, then the Eruv is a way of diffusing the Isser, of negating the Isser, of losing the Isser. So then you can say, if it's mostly contained in Heter, it's diffused already. So we'll define it all as Heter. But that's because the ear of itself is already an undoing. It's already taking it from its original state down to a mixed state. Right? It's not a special din that whenever you have a large quantity and a small quantity, it's memela, the small quantity is destroyed. It means to say when you have an iser that was be'en and now becomes lost, there's a degree where we say it's batel. But that's because the Eruv is really taking the be'en, the iser that is the natural form of the iser, and undoing it. So you could say the state of Eruv is contrary to the normal natural state of the iser. You understand? So now we're dealing with a negation already. We're saying Chelev exists as an entity. Nevela exists as an entity. Right? They have a certain identity, a certain way of being created and a certain identity. Anything that it's mixed into now when it gets mixed in, it's no longer in its natural form. Now it's a mixture of. Right? So the state of mixture is contrary to its natural state. Right? Shchut Nevela doesn't come about as a Nesarev, it comes about as a Be'en. The term Be'en is very common when you're dealing in Kashrus issues. Be'en means in the natural form. Right? So therefore he's saying when mixture is keneged, it's the natural form, that's Shayach to Bittul. But if mixture is the form of Isser itself, that's right, now that is the Be'en. So there's no, it's not Shayach to a Bittul. The mixture is only a problem, the mixture is only a Bittul because it's contrary to the Shem Isser. But if the Shem Isser is ear of itself, then there's nothing contrary. On the contrary, that is the thing. And we're not saying when you have one piece of Nevela mixed into two pieces of Shchuta that the Nevela doesn't exist at all. It does exist. It exists as a Nisarev. You understand? We're never saying by Bittul that the thing is Bittul out of existence. We're not saying whenever there's an overwhelming majority of one thing, it's considered not to exist anymore. But we're saying the Isser is no longer existing be'en. It's no longer existing in its natural form. Now the substance of Nevela is existing as a mixture of something else. Okay? So therefore, the substance of Nevela that was transformed from its own identity to a minority of a greater identity, that could be Bittul. Okay? But you'll never have... But since Bittul, that was my question was, why don't you say if I have a whole majority of linen, so the wool is gone? No, because Bittul never says it's gone. That's part of the Havmina. Bittul is never saying that the thing is gone. It's saying when the Isser is transformed from a Be'en to a Nisarev, there's a certain shear where we no longer regard the Isser. The Isser has been like the Rush says. It's the Xeris Akasa of that. The Isser in this mixture is Mutter. Not that there's no Nevela here. We're not saying there is no Nevela present. But we're saying, Acher Rav Mahatos. Torah says, even though you know there's Nevela present, but Nevela that is subsumed under a greater overall majority of Shchuta is Mutter. It's Mutter to have it's Mutter to have it when it's Chad B'Trei. It's not that it's gone. It's not that it's nullified and no longer exists. And the raya is, because we hold, if more nevela would fall in, then the whole thing would become usher again. Mm-hmm. It's called chozer v'nir.
So not that chozer it's gone, but
not that it's gone, but the, in the state of a nisarev, it's mutter. Right? Because the state of nisarev is contrary to its natural identity of iser ben. But we're never saying it's gone. That's fantasy. We know it's not gone. We know it fell in here and it didn't go anywhere. So by kiloyim, the linen will never be gone in the majority of wool, and the mixture itself is the ban. The mixture itself is not contrary to iser. It is the definition of iser. So it's not shaykh to bittel. So you can say the Havamino is working with an idea that bittel is like a factual phenomenon. If one thing is in many, then it's like it's nullified. Then it's like it doesn't exist. But Lamaskana, it's not a matter of saying the substance doesn't exist. It's saying that a be'en, that if the iser is be'en, then a tarovus is contrary to it. But sometimes a tarovus can be in line with the iser. If the whole iker is tarovus itself, then the mixture is not removed, is not keneged iser, it's in line with iser. Now, what do I mean to say when I say that the one, if you have one piece of nevela lost in two pieces of shchuta, that they're mixed together? They're mixed together because they're all joined in the same doubt. I don't know which one of the three is kosher, and I don't know which one of the three is treif, and which two of the three are kosher. So they're all in one mixture. It's a mixture of a lack of knowledge. They all exist under one grouping of the things that I don't know their definite identity. I know one of them is nevela and two of them are shchuta. I don't know which is which. So now over all of these three, I can say I go basarov. I can say all of these three I don't know. So at each one I can go basarov. Okay, it's a little bit complicated. A little bit of a more complicated question of. Oh, are they actually all turned into heter, or do I say it's busser rove? In each one, I can say this is from the majority. This is from the majority, but in either case, they're all joined together in one type of a tarovus. Mixture just means over here that the identity is not clear.
At the time that they are.
Okay. Anyway, so we can't get into all the practical questions of bittel and rove here, but. But his point is just the process of bittel is a process of diluting iser, either through mixing up its place or actual dilution. But if the eruv is part of the identity of the but it never removes the existence of the substance, never removes the existence of the substance. But if you're going to say but if it's an iser like kilayim. So then, it doesn't dilute the iser. It's part of the definition of the iser. Okay, now it's like this: Vim Toma Rebasa Becholav the Kol Echel Luchud Shari Ve'eruvo Aser VaFilu Hachi Bottle. So now you have a problem. If he's saying whenever the definition of the iser is a mixture, there's no bittel, and you can see the definition is mixture because they're both starting out as heter, right? So it must be the mixture itself is the iser. So then, how come by Basa Becholav we say there's bittel? Because we say tifas cholshenof al chatichas baser miyesh benosim tam, it's aser. So if a drop of milk falls on meat, and you can't taste the milk in the meat, then the meat is mutter. Aye, the milk is there and the meat is there, and it's an iser of mixture, so it should be just like kilayim, right? So this is v'yesh loma d'shani baser b'chol d'goli kro behedya d'bottle. That's exeris the cost of that bottle. How? Kidarmino hosam derech bishul aser Torah. Because the pasuk is lo sevasho. So the Torah only asered what? A certain kind of eruv, he's saying. That's his answer there. In other words, it's only when they're mixed in a way of bishul. Only when they're mixed as a food mixture. But foods are only mixed in terms that the degree of mixture by food, the barometer for mixture by food is when it affects the taste, when there's a taste involved. Kiloyim is just substances, it's just the threads. So that's just a physical mixture. But so physical mixture, it'll be even one thread out of a 1,000, 10,000, whatever it is, right? But the shear of there's no shear for the mixture over there. It's just the definition of considered having two different things together. So no matter what the ratios are, you're still going to have two things together. But there's a certain shear of when we call the eruv by basar v'chalav to begin with. It has to be a certain kind of an eruv. It has to be a certain kind of a mixture. Now, as you're saying, it's not that the nesinas tam is really a... It's not when you don't taste the chalav, there's a bittul, because there's no bittul by eruv, by isser of eruv. But it's not the right kind of a mixture. You understand? I say mix these two things in a certain way. What kind of a way? In a culinary way. To use a term that gets thrown around a lot. In a culinary way. Mix them in a culinary way. Right? You know what I mean by that? Food, science of food.
Yeah, I don't know what culinary means.
Okay, good. So now, if I have milk that I can't taste in the meat, so on a particle level they're mixed, right? But you wouldn't call it a meat-milk combo in a culinary sense, because they're not both being expressed, right? If you go to a restaurant and they tell you all the special things that are put into the food, but you can't taste any of them, it wouldn't make any difference to you, right?
It's true.
Say, I want, what do people eat together? But, you know, I like pepper in my soup. And the guy says, well, there's pepper in there. We just can't taste it. But you ask for pepper in your soup, I put it in. You can't taste it. That's not my problem. No, that's not considered a mixture of tam. It's not considered part of a tavshil. As lo savasho gediva chalei vimo means to create a new kind of a food that is defined by the tamim of basar v'chalav. So if I don't create that kind of a product, now is a certain kind of a product of mixture by basar v'chalav. The bishul has to accomplish a certain kind of a product. Not just the factual combination. So therefore, it's not a matter of bittul, because there's nothing really to be mevatel. It's not that the milk doesn't exist, but they don't exist together in the right way. They don't exist together. It's not just milk, eating milk and meat at the same time. That would just be eating milk and a little bit of meat at the same time. But that's not the product. It has to be a certain... They have to be joined together in a unified way. How are they joined together in a unified way? That they both express their tam in the new tavshil. Anything less is not the right kind of a mixture. It's just like side by side. They have to actually be unified into one experience of tam. He proposes referring to it as a bittul, because the question is, why aren't I over for having milk and meat? Isn't there milk in here? So you're saying, no, in the realm of achila, we negate the presence of the milk if it's not sensible. And we say it's just milk, it's just meat. But not in the physical sense of eruv. In the physical sense of eruv, you still have milk and meat together. But it's lo sivasho gediva chaliv. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if you take meat and you soak it in milk for 2 days, right? So even though the milk and the meat absorb and exchange tamim, that would not be usher, because it wasn't cooked. It has to dafka be a new combination of the two in the derech of bishul. It has to be like a new cooked dish. And you only say... What's that?
It'd have to be like creamy cholent or something, you're saying? Or it'd have to be like...
No, it'd have to be cooked. It just has to be with fire. If I just soak it in cold milk for a day, so then we say the tamim, it does absorb. As I said the other day, that cold things don't absorb. But if you have a cold thing sitting in liquid for a day, so then we would say the milk is fully absorbed into the meat. So every bite of meat is going to be have milk in it. You can't wash it out anymore. But it's not the combination of basar and chalav. It'd be just like eating milk and meat next to each other, like a bite of each. Basar b'cholav is not basar and cholav at the same time. It's a new combination created through bishul. But that combination has to be both through bishul and in the realm and in the realm of achila. So how do you combine two things? What does it mean to combine two things through bishul? It means to put the tamim of each other, to combine the tamim together. So if there's no tam of one, then it's not considered a combination of in terms of basar b'cholav, in terms of bishul. In other words, the Gemara is saying that pasuk is telling you, Lo Savashal is telling you precisely what the Isser is. The Isser is to infuse the tamim of into each other via fire, via Eish. That's what creates it. Now, let's give you an example. By Kilay HaKerem, right? So what makes it a mixture? The fact that they're planted and growing together, right? If I would just have them standing together and not growing together, that wouldn't be considered a mixture. That's not the right mixture we're talking about, right? Have to be growing together. And by the beged, if I just have the linen on top of the wool, if I have a woolen beged and I put a strap of linen over it and wear a linen scarf, that's not kilayim either. It has to be mixed in a certain, in the right way, right? So the right way of the mixture of basar b'cholav is to create a new food substance that partakes of both. It has to be derech bishul. Otherwise, they're together, but they're not mixed in the right way. They always have to be mixed in the right way. So kilayim karam is growing together in the same field, right? Kilaya beged is woven together, and basar b'cholav is infused together, but it's not an infusion if I can't taste it. Continuing back in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, why would the wheat be usser? We see from the Mishnah only cracked grapes are usser, but if it's not cracked, then it's not usser. So that apparently the assumption is that the wheat is not cracked. The normal wheat is contained in the shell, right? Wheat is contained in the shell. Okay, so the Gemara says they're cracked. They have a certain line. Sedek shebachit. They have a certain, I don't know, a very fine line.
Groove.
Okay, anyway, that's the end of that. Next. Now we're going to the next video. Go ahead. I mean, there's a funny machlokas. I don't understand exactly. But the Rambam says, the Rambam somehow is machalik between the grapes and the wheat. He says the grapes are only going to be usher when there's a shear of no Saint Tom. When there's a certain amount of wine falls on the grapes. But the wheat, he says, is usher always, even less than nos and tam. It's because the wheat draws in the moisture. Whereas the other Rishonim say, no, you still need a shear of nos and tam by wheat.
What's with baking it? Why grinding and baking is fine? Why is it fine to sell?
It's fine to sell, yeah. Why is it fine to sell? Why is it fine to sell? Why don't you say it's usher because of the hana of the yayin that's up inside? Right?
Maybe the yayin would evaporate, I don't know.
So mustavra, I mean, the only thing, mustavra means that the yayin doesn't add to the value. Now, the zechitim are not being sold for any more value than they normally would. So you're not being a nana from the yayin that's up. If the yayin nesach added to it, then you definitely wouldn't be allowed to keep that extra. But apparently, it doesn't change the value, or it makes the value. I don't know.
But I thought the issue is that you can't sell to the Yovel Kochavim because you might sell to a Jew, not because it's getting benefit.
Well, that's a separate problem. That's a problem. The Gemara doesn't address the problem of the hana. So I'm just saying, in terms of issur, no, if I have yayin nesach, I can't sell it, right?
Yeah.
Because I can't be nana from it. That would be nana. So. So it would seem that these are because you're not being nana. The chitim is not going up in price because of the yayin nesach. And then in terms of the Jew buying it, that's what the Gemara says. As long as you bake it into bread and sell it to the guy privately, then it's not a problem because the Jew won't buy bread from a guy.
Well, who cares whether you bake it or not?
No, because pasakim. The Jew won't buy pasakim. He'll think that it's pasakim.
Or he might buy the wheat.
You got it.
Well, if you sell him wheat, he'll buy. Why can't he buy wheat from a guy?
Right.
Nothing wrong with buying wheat from a guy. But if you sell him the breads, then what's the guy going to do? He's going to open up a bread stand. But the Jew won't buy from the guy's bread stand because it's pasakim. That's why the Achronim say, and Mechaber says, if it's a place where they sell where Jews eat pasakim, this hazard doesn't work. Apparently, it's not red. The bread doesn't look like red or smell like wine. So it's. So you're not getting any extra money from the Ayin Esach, and as long as you sell them the way, another Jew won't buy it. Okay. Okay? All right. So